turn to the 13th chapter of St. John and get that scripture tonight. Here, starting about the 34th verse, it says here, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." I was thinking about this 35th verse particularly. It said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." I was thinking about how that he put so much emphasis on the fact that you and I, if ye have love one to another. That's a thought I want to get it across, in other words. And you know, we many times we want to convince people that we are the people of God, and we want our loved ones to be saved, and we want our neighbors to be saved, and we want our children to be saved, and we want to try to convince the people around about us in the neighborhood that we are the people of God, and that we are what the Lord requires us to be. But I'm going to say tonight that Jesus said here that the one way, it said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." This is many times we try to, people look on the outward appearance and they'll say, "Well, so-and-so, she or he surely looked like a Christian. They looked like a child of God. They dress like a child of God, and all these things, and they're real spiritual people and so forth." But Jesus said here, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples." This reason right here, this is what's going to convince everybody around about us, and everybody that we come in contact with, or everybody that comes in contact with us. He said, that by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. By this, by what? By the "if ye have love one to another." This is more convincing than any other thing that we can think about there. It seems like that he put so much emphasis on the fact that if you and I want to really convince anybody that we are Christians, or we are the people of God, or we are a children of God, if we are going to be able to convince them of anything, then Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples." This is the way that you and I can live in our neighborhood, and in our home, and around about us, and wherever we are, on our job, and wherever we're at, if people can look on us and see that we have love one for another, then that's going to convince them that we are disciples. He said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples." You know, I just woke up this morning and seemed like this verse of scripture, we want to try to show people a better way. We want to try to show them the right way. We want to try to convince them that living for God is a reality. And I believe one scripture says that we are epistles written and known of all men, I believe it says. We are epistles, people that are saved, people that are living for God. I'm going to say today that Jesus, he's not here in the world no more, is he? In the flesh like he was. And the only way people today, many people won't go to church. Many people won't read the Bible. And so today, if you and I that has a concern and has a burden for souls, if we're going
going to convince anybody that we are the people of God, that we do have something another to offer to folks, then we will have to have love one to another. This is going to show out more than anything else. You know, I hadn't thought of this verse of Scripture so much, maybe, but then as I got to meditating on it, I began to think how hard that the enemy of our soul, the devil, worked so hard to keep you and I from loving one another, to keep you and I from showing our love one to another, because Jesus said, this will convince people that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. This is more convincing than anything else. You know, we're living in a world today, just a lot of people that claim to be Christians, they claim to be church members, they claim this and claim that, but Jesus said, that ain't enough, is it? That's not convincing, because we, I see, run into a lot of people that say they're Christians, I say they're people of God, but what happens? Many of them don't love one another, many of them don't show their concern, and so tonight, that is not good enough, and you and I tonight, we can be the very same way, if we don't, I do like the Bible says, then we'll be coming short too, but this text of Scripture says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. This is what he said, is convincing, it'll convince the gainsayers, it'll convince people, it'll convince your neighbor, it'll convince your family and your loved ones that you're a disciple. What is a disciple? It's a follower of the Lord. It's a follower of Christ. At one place it said the disciples were called Christians at Antioch. And so the Christians, that's what he said about you and I tonight, that we're here in this little community, a few people living here. And oh, my burden tonight is that every one of us will show love one to another. And if we will do that, then Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You'll know, they'll know this. And this is convincing if we see people. The Bible said, when one member of the body suffered, they all suffered. And it said, weep with those that weep, rejoice with those that rejoice. And so tonight, if you and I, as the people of God, if we're going to do anything, and I think how we just come here recently, a little congregation beginning to build up here. But listen, if you and I are going to be able to convince people, we're going to have love one to another. I'm going to have to get it across to one another. It ain't enough to say, I love you. That ain't good enough. But we're going to have to let people see and let them know that we love one another. And therefore, the Bible says then, that by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Oh, we might hang a little sign out and say we're people of God, we're the church of God, or we're the saints of God, or this and that. A lot of those things good. But the Bible said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. That's all the time. No wonder the devil works so hard trying to separate people, trying to keep them from working together, trying to keep them from being unified in one body, because the devil, the enemy of all mankind, he knows that when people will get together and they'll love one another and they'll show their love and convince people that there's a reality. You know, as I've said before, we're living in a time now that the religion in the world is at a real low ebb, you might say. Our younger generation, many of them, are just kind of lost interest in religion altogether. Why? Because there's so many people that are claiming to be Christians who are not Christians. They go to church on Sunday, and then they live like the anybody else through the week. And they see this, this younger generation of people, they're more educated, their minds are more developed, and they just don't take what you say. You're going to have to see something another. And you and I, as Christians, you and I as the people of God, we've got a real duty and a real responsibility that we present something another that they can see. And what is that thing that will convince them? Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have loved one to another. That'll get the job done. This will be convincing. And all this is the one thing that when I was first saved, like I said before, I went to one of the camp meetings out west, and this is the thing that convinced me that this was the people of God. I've seen they loved one another. I've seen they cared for one another. They were all different nationalities. They were from different parts of the country, but they all come together, and they just seem to be one big happy family, and they got their love across one to another. That convinced me. I've been out in the world, living in deep sin for 20 years or so, and I had a longing for something in the heart, and I desired something another, and I never did. Have very much home life. I grew up like that. I run away from home when I was young. I didn't have much of a home life, but I desired something another, and I was looking for something another. And you know, when I found the people of God, that convinced me that was what I wanted, bless your heart. I wanted to be in a family where the love was showing, where they got their love across one to another. And you know, this is right where I found it at, and it was convincing. And you know, we've seen a little of it around here the last 10 days or so. And so tired. I believe there have been a few people I convinced too around here that something going on around here. I'll tell you what's going on. It's God working in and through his people. And so tired. I hear Jesus praying over here in the 17th chapter of John. It said here, in about the 21st, I neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me, through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. What for? It said that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe thou hast sent me. The world, he said, may believe that thou hast sent me. What's going to convince the world then? You and I are in unity together. You and I working as one body. You and I living the same, loving one another, standing together. I'd love to see that right here in this community. Every child of God, I'd love to see them get unified together and stand as one, that we might all join up together here and unify our efforts, and that we can all convince this community and the people around about us that it's a reality in living for God. It's not a myth. It's not just something that's been cooked up, but it's a reality, brother. I'm living for God. Jesus said, I pray. No wonder the enemy, like I said, tries to divide the people. No wonder he tries his best to keep folks from working together and worshiping together. Why? Because as long as he can do that, he can separate. afraid. He called it confusion among the people. The poor sinner man or the woman, they don't know what to believe. Somebody said they believe this. One said they believe that. But Jesus said, I want you to all be one. What for? That we might convince the world that there's something to this thing. And so tonight, I want to invite everyone tonight, if you're a child of God, if you've been born to the Spirit of God, if you're a Christian tonight, we want to invite you to join right in, and let's all join up together, and all work together, and get our love across one to another, that we might convince the lost ones around about us that this is a reality living for God.
Amen.
You know, we're living in a world today when, like I said, a lot of people are just about lost interest in the things of God. Everywhere I go, I travel around here and there. I hear them say, well, this preacher, he don't preach the truth anymore. He don't preach it like that. But listen tonight. The enemy of all souls is doing all that he can. It says here, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Jerry, and it said, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. The world may know this thing. If you and I can be unified together, you and I can live and lift up one standard for all believing the same thing. Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 1 and about 10, he said there, I beseech you that you all speak the same thing. That's God's way, that's God's will, that we all speak the same thing. And so tonight, I pray the Lord will bless us tonight. Jesus had a purpose in this prayer. He said in there, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and had love in the world. We convince the world. Why? By getting our love across one to another, by standing together. You know, that's one thing about the people of God. I remember some years ago, out in the West there, they had a kind of a type Lord epidemic started, and a lot of them people got it there at the camp meeting. But these people, I guess the news went out across the country, even over in the year. One thing they said about them people, they all stand together. That was a report, even made the newspapers over in Europe, I believe, and other places over the country. But the one outstanding thing that the reporters and the different ones seemed to recognize, that all them people stand together. They love one another, and they stand together. You and I tonight have got a duty. You and I got a responsibility. God is counting on you and I to fulfill His word right in here, in this community we live in here. Boy, He said that the world may know that He has sent me. Well, by being all one, all believing alike, all this different beliefs, and all this thing you said, well, I just believe whatever you want to. You can't find that in the Bible. Jesus said, I pray that you all be one. Me and you, and you and me, and we're all one in Him. Why? That the world may believe, and the world may see that thou hast sent me, He said. Oh, this is convincing to people when they see people working together and they see them bound together in the bond of unity and the bond of love, and they see them with one effort and one interest. I wish I could get my thought across. I wish I could draw a little picture on the board that I'd just like to see us all. The Bible said, let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I'd like to see every child of God, everyone, and that ain't up to me to say who saved and who ain't saved. You're going to have to answer to God for yourself. But anyway, God wants all of His people seeing eye to eye and speaking the same thing. And so it is. We want to Hurry along here. Over here in the fourth chapter of Acts, it said here in the 32nd verse, it said here in the multitude of them. That's, I don't know how many a multitude is. That sounds like quite a crowd to me. But it said the multitude of them. Some people said, well, you can't all see alike. You can't all believe alike. You've got to believe one thing, and one believe another. I heard one great famous preacher say, it's impossible for everybody to see things just alike. But the Bible said, it said here, and the multitude of them, and like I said, that word multitude, in my thinking anyway, implies quite a number of people. I don't know how many it might be, but anyway, it said here, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, it said. They wasn't all split up. They wasn't all divided up. They didn't all believe one thing, another believe another. He said they were all of one heart, he said. And it said here, and of one soul, neither said any of them that all of the things which beset was it on, but they had all things common. Just every one of them, just a partaker of the common salvation. Every one of them of one heart. Every one of them of one soul. Every one of them believing the same thing. Everyone speaking the same thing. That was the beginning of the church. This is the Acts of the Apostles. This is the morning time. This is what Jesus came and set up. And this is what he taught. And this is what he told them to preach. And so he said here, and he said, and with great power. That's what we need tonight. And I tell you, we can have it tonight. Everyone, if we can just do what God says and be unified together and get our love across one to another and be one in Christ, then we can have great power with God. And we can convince the people around about us. I tell you, there's been more people won to the Lord by somebody living a holy life than all the preachers that ever preached. I believe they prove your life preaches louder than the preacher does. It convinces people, and when they see a group of people that loves one another and they're willing to get in there and bear with one another and lift up one another and support one another and back one another and help people in every way that they can, this is convincing tonight. It ain't enough just to say I'm saved. It ain't enough to say I'm just a child of God. It ain't enough to say I'm a Christian. Why, the world's full of those kind of people. But what we want to do by the grace and help of God is to fulfill the Word of God, and therefore we'll be able to convince people that we have, that living for God is a reality.
Amen.
It's a reality. It's not something that's just made up. It's not a myth of some kind, but it's reality. And God is depending on you and I as a people of God to live in such a way that we can convince people that it is a reality, bless your life, the Lord. That it's not just something that we have taken up with or something along that line. And it said here, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land, of houses, sold them and brought the price and all the things and were sold. Every one of them shared just alike. Everyone, when they seen somebody in need, if there was one there in the congregation that got in bad trouble, or he got in a financial bind, or something went his way, they all just pitched right in, and everyone just shared. Everyone just lived on the Bible said one place, let there be equality, did it not? And so tonight, this is convincing, is it not? We can just have a big testimony, and we can say, I'm saved. I've been living for God so many years, and all those. That don't convince people anymore. No, that's not convincing. But oh, when they see with their own eyes that it's a reality, this is convincing, bless your heart. And this is a burden of our heart tonight that we'll all, everyone that tonight that is a child of God, over in the fifth verse, chapter, and it said here, after these folks here, and with their lies to the Holy Ghost, that kept back part of the land and so forth. forth. And it said in the 11th verse, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's Porch. The people in the beginning of this thing, after Christ came and set up his church, the Bible said they were all together, he said. He didn't say they wasn't all divided up, was he? And one over here and one over there. But the Bible said they were all together. Every one of them was together. Every one of them believing, preaching and teaching and living just the same way. Don't you know that was convincing? Don't you know my mind? It's pretty hard for one fellow to convince somebody. Maybe it's hard for two or three. But oh, when people see that there's a multitude or there's a group of people that are actually fulfilling the Word of God, this is convincing, my Lord. And this is what God's wanting you and I to be. That's what He's expecting out of you and I tonight. And oh, may the Lord bless us tonight. And it says here, and by the hand, listen to what they had. And it says here, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's Porch, and all the rest, there's no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. People, they were so unified. They were so united together, these early apostles, the beginning of this church. They were so unified together. They had so much power of God around about them that it said no man dare join himself unto them. In other words, they just didn't dare to go up and say, I'm one of you. I'm a church member. I'm a saved. I'm a Christian, or so forth. No, they didn't dare to do that. Because there was such unity there. There was such power there. The grace of God and the power of God was upon them. And listen what happened then. And it said, and believers were the more added to the Lord. The believers were added. Bless your heart. I'll tell you tonight, I believe right here in this little community, if you and I, the people of God, I can get together and be united and show our love one to another, get it across, bless your heart, and be unified in our efforts, I'll tell you tonight, I still believe there will be some believers added to the Lord. Amen. There'll be some believers. People will be convinced. I believe there's people. They've been people right here in this meeting in the last 10 days. They were looking for something another. Their hearts were reaching out for something. They were desiring. They've driven many miles, some of them did. And they were wanting something. They were tired of the things where they'd been. One dear woman said she had been in trouble. She desired something in her soul. And she wanted to get right with God. I went to see a preacher. He got down and told her a little scripture. All you got to do is just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, we had a message on that last night. I said you must repent. But anyway, this dear woman, she done what the preacher said, but she still had her longing. She still wasn't satisfied. She still desired something another. And she came to this meeting desiring something another. And I thank God that we went and taken her over to her home, had a little counsel with her, and gave her some of the Word of God. I got down and prayed. She still didn't say, well, I don't know whether I'm all right or not. Well, let's pray again. Let's pray again. Got right down and prayed again, bless your heart. I went away satisfied, bless your heart. And so tonight, you and I tonight, God, I want you and I to have something another on hand to give out to the people, bless your heart. And so people today, I believe there's people right in this community that's dissatisfied the way they're living. They're not happy the way they are. There's something down there that's reaching out. There's been a number right here under this tent, right in front of this community, not satisfied where they've been going to meeting, not satisfied the way the preacher's been preaching, but so tonight, I pray that God will help you and I tonight, that we'll have something another. And what are we going to have? We're going to have love one to another, bless your heart. Yeah. We're going to show our love one to another, and we're going to be unified together, and we're going to stand together. Oh, I just want to call tonight for volunteers. This is a volunteer army, you know. God don't draft anybody in His army. There's not a draftee in the army of God. Every one of them is volunteers.
Oh, Lord.
I want to ask every Christian that's here tonight to volunteer, that we'd all join up together, and we'd all unify our efforts, that we get together, stand on the Word of God. Don't take man's doctrine, man's creed, or man's ideals, but just take the Word of God and live like He tells us to live, and then we'll be able to convince people that there's a reality in living for God. Oh, my heart's burdened to these things tonight. It is a reality living for God, bless your heart. It's a reality. It's real. And God knows, and the devil knows it's real. And that's why that he fights it. I don't know one thing that the enemy fights any harder than he does unity of God's people. The Bible said, if any two on earth shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done. Just two people. I believe the old Bible said one place that how did it go? One can chase a thousand, and two can put 10,000 to flight. That's quite that adds up pretty fast, don't it? One's just 1,000, but you get two together, they can chase 10,000, bless your heart. That multiplied 10 times, just two people. Well, don't you, what will you think of about a 15 or a dozen, 20 or two or three dozen people, or 50 or whatever it might be? Why, don't you see what could be done if that many people could just be unified together, all stand together, all have things in common, all believe the same thing, all loving one another, caring for one another, backing and supporting and helping one another? I'll tell you, I believe there could be more done for God if we could get that done. Oh, may the Lord bless our hearts tonight. It says here, and believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both men and women. Why? Because these brothers were together. They had power with God, and God's favor was resting upon them, and God wanted to use them right here. We want to give you just a little invitation here before we bring this. Arm for the things of iron, and the wood for the things of wood, unken stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and diverse colors, all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. They were getting this stuff all gathered up here. I want to read this to get a thought. They were getting all this material gathered up here, and they was going to build a house of God, wasn't it? That's what they were going to build, the old Solomon's temple over there. And so it said here, that they, moreover, because I have set my affliction and my affection, so forth, he went on to say here in the fourth verse, even 3,000 talents of gold of fire, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the house with all, the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and for all manners of work to be made by the hand of the artificers. And now, he said, we've got all the material together. We've got everything here to build a house with. In other words, we've got the gold, we've got the stones, we've got the wood, and we've got the stone. All everything that's needed is right here tonight. They said to build a house with. Now listen what he wants. You know, I believe everything we need right here, don't you? God has provided everything through Jesus Christ that we need to serve and glorify God, has he not? I believe Peter said one time that all things is given unto us through Christ who strengthens us. And he said over there, to them that believe, I believe that he said. And so he said, listen what he says here. And he said then, after they've got all the material together, after everything was complete, and all they had, everything to build a house with, then it said, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?
Thank the Lord.
Who's willing now? We've got everything that we need. That scripture I quoted, I didn't quote it right. It said there in Peter, it said, he's given us all things. Now I've got it. He's given us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So So he has given you and I, we have everything we, through Christ, is provided everything that you and I need to live for God and serve God and work for God and glorify God. Everything been provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what we need is somebody who's willing to consecrate their service. That's what we need, isn't it? Everything's prepared. The Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And he built his church. And then on the day of Pentecost, he sent his spirit back into the world to endure it with power and to set it in operation. And now, as one song says, told Paul, I leave this great work up to you now. Now we've got everything we need. We've got everything provided. And now what we need to do is who is willing to consecrate himself this day to the service of the Lord. Well, I don't know what you're going to think of it. These folks here wanted the privilege tonight to take a little story down about the tent meeting there, newspaper folks. So I didn't think there'd be anything wrong with that. Amen. So anyway, tonight, who's willing to consecrate himself unto the Lord? Who's willing to sacrifice his own ways and his own will and his own desires? Who's willing to do that? In order that he might please and glorify God. How many tonight, if I would ask for volunteers, how many would be willing to just be willing to leave everything behind and lay everything aside and consecrate your life to God that we might glorify God right here in this life? Anybody here willing to do that tonight? Anybody willing to forsake his what he's been doing in the past? The way he's been wanting to do things, glorify God. Anybody willing to do that tonight? So tonight, we pray the Lord will take this message and convey it to our heart. And if you're here tonight, and you're one of God's children, we want to invite you tonight to just join up together, unify our efforts, that we might glorify God right here. I believe that's all right, don't you? I believe that's what God requires of you and I tonight. So may the Lord bless your hearts tonight. And remember our little text. He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. So we trust the Lord will bless these new thoughts to the good of your heart. And like that one song says, we reach our hand in fellowship to every blood-washed world. So tonight, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, then we want to encourage you to lead the Word of God and seek the Lord and find God will be able to show you the right way. He'll be able to lead you into the right way. And all it's Jesus' prayer was that we'd all be one. That was his prayer, wasn't it? Now, are we gonna disappoint him? Or are we gonna let him fulfill that in our life? Pray that we'd all be one, as he is one. Now, in order for you and I to be one, we'll have to lay down some of our tradition, maybe some things we've been raised with, things we've been taught all of our life. Somebody said, "Well, just let your conscience be your guide." Well, you can't trust your conscience, I'll tell you that now. Now, you can go by your conscience as long until you find out that the Word of God contradicts that. Now, if you've been believing something, and you may be justified in what you're believing, you may be honest about it, but then when we find out that what we've been believing is contrary, to the Word of God, then we have to lay down what we've been believing and take what the Word of God says. So, may the Lord bless you tonight. This night, who's willing? Who's willing tonight? How many of us here tonight are willing to consecrate ourselves? We've got all the material. Jesus brought that all to the world, didn't he? And then he said, it's needful that I go away. Because if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I'll send you.
So he sent his spirit back here to the world. All the materials here, I mean all the ingredients and everything we need, it's all here. But now, who's willing? Who's willing to forsake the world? Who's willing to forsake his own life? What was it said over there? How did that scripture go there, First John? Well, I can start reading there, 1 John 3:16. It says there, no greater love than this. Yeah. No greater love than this than a man lay down his life for his friends. Is that what it says? No greater love than this than a man would lay down his life for his friends. So tonight, are you willing to lay down your life? Are you willing to lay down what you want to do, what your plans is, and consecrate yourself to the Lord? Lord, take me and use me in any way you want to see fit. I'm yielding myself to thy service. I believe there's a verse of song that says like that. I have yielded myself to thy service. Who's willing tonight to consecrate yourself? That the Lord might be glorified and unified together. Oh, I just felt kind of impressed to go on and have a night or two meeting. And I just feel like it's been good tonight. The Lord has given us something to think about. We're going to stand and sing a song. And if you've got a need in your soul, and if you're willing to consecrate yourself tonight for the service of God, we want to invite you to come. Bow before the Lord. This is not this is Christ at the altar. This is just a little bench we got here to kneel down and pray at. But if you're here tonight, who's willing to consecrate himself tonight? Anybody here willing just to turn yourself completely loose and let God be glorified in your life? Anybody willing to just lay old self down? Therefore, God be glorified. You know, you could bring it down a little closer home, couldn't you? Right in the home. You know, you can convince your children. There's nothing more to convince. I had a letter today, or whenever it was, from a young lady that spent some time in our home. She said that the people, they don't live like you folks do. They don't live around their home like you folks live in your home. You know, people notice these things. And I want to say to you tonight, if you've got children, there's nothing in the world will convince a child more than a father and a mother that showing love, when getting their love across one to another. That'll convince people more than anything else. My wife and I, we've been living saved now for over 17 years. We haven't had one quarrel in over 17 years. We haven't had one fight. We haven't had one big blow up, or so whatever you want to call it. And you know our boys, we raise three boys, and they tell other people, young folks about that, and they just don't want to believe that. Their parents, many of them don't do that. But I'll tell you tonight, if you want to convince your children that something real, I'll tell you the father and the mother have got a real responsibility. To unify together and stand together. One of them corrects the child, stand there with it. I didn't do that one before I was saved. My wife used to try to correct her oldest child. I'd grab it up and pet it a little bit. Well, we'd have trouble with it as time went on. He's not saved today. He's the old first child. The others, we didn't do that with them, and they're both saved. But tonight, and a lot of it was probably my fault. My wife, she'd whip them. I'd grab them out and pat it before the thing. Don't you do that. This works right down in the home, doesn't it? It'll work in the church, it'll work in the congregation, it'll work in the community, and it'll work right in the home too. The father and the mother unified together. One of them corrects the child, the other one to stand right with it.
Amen.
Right with it. Stand there, and if it runs to one to sympathy, don't give it nothing. Don't give it any sympathy. It don't take that child long to know which one he can get the sympathy from. This thing works tonight, folks. God set it up just right. And if you and I will be humble enough and willing enough If it ain't God's way, it'll worry be a reality in our life too. Who's willing tonight? Who's willing to concentrate? Now they over there, they was going to build a house for God. They had all the material on hand. Now I believe tonight, if I wanted to build a little building up there on my place now, and I'd come around some of you men here and brothers and say, come over and help me out, I just got confidence to believe that you'd just come and help me out. I just believe if every one of you was free to do it, I just have confidence to believe that every man in here tonight, if he was free, he'd come and give me a hand. I just believe you'd do that. Well, we've got a more important job than building just a little building, isn't it? So would you be, what about God's cause? Would you be willing to consecrate yourself to that? He needs help. God needs help. He needs workers in his vineyard. What does he want us to do now? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another.